tires out a player too much when they're having to pick up the load in the beginning of the game. You want to save players.
You
like
live
that.
And die by that 3-point. Again, knowing how prolific they are, mm-hmm. take it to the paint, get some of our guys in foul trouble, mm-hmm. especially since it's Cook and Robinson down there doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
Exactly. If you can get them in foul trouble, you can get them to stop being as aggressive.
Cook, we got a sighting on Tyron's grandma. She's there in the front row.
There we go.
With a Tyron big head. Tyron Cook, as many of us know, scored his 1,000th point as a junior against Oconomowoc. Pressure in the inbound. Two black shirts back there, but they give it to Wags successfully. Wags covered by Duncan on the right side. Crosses the line. Gets it to Thompson. Thompson goes around to pick. He's driving. He loses control. The ball goes out of bounds. So it'll stay here. It looks like either Robinson or Check may have knocked that away. Trevon Hughes goes to the bench. Coach Hughes. Jack McSorley, the Irishman, will come in replacing Thompson. Not happy about being subbed out, but the inbound to Sobiak in the corner. Back out to Wags. Stukey in the quarterland. McSorley drives, and he's fouled by Karinko, looks like. I don't know. You know, Karinko did a good job of cutting off the baseline, but. And Teddy Oakley would come in. That's only three on Karinko, so that's okay with 12-12 left as Tadioka comes in. Tadioka's got one. The inbound. They kick it out to Sobiak. Back out to the other side. Bester for three. Can't make it. Tyron Cook with another amazing rebound. Cook right away in transition. Just as Duncan can't get the handle on the ball. He gets it back. Kicks it out to Tadioka. Tadioka to Check on the point.
That's out of the wing. Tyron's calling for it.
Yep. Check drives in and out. And the ball will remain with the black shirts. It looks like it was knocked out by McSorley. A good drive there by Check, but Tyron is wide open calling for it. And Connor, you got to dance with the girl who brought you, right? Cook gets the inbound from Check over on the left wing. Dribbles more to the center of the court. It's a zone now. Robinson fakes, drives, dishes it out for three. Duncan.
Tyron with the rebound.
Tyron, that kiss off the glass.
Kiss off the glass.
That signature Tyron Cook, Jay. That's got to be 26 points for the senior.
He celebrates by hitting the floor.
43-33. It's back to a double-digit lead. 11-21 remaining as Sobiak drives, but a foul is called. Daniel Robinson, his first. Second, I stand corrected. I only had zero for Dan, but. So 15 fouls for the black shirts with a 10-point lead. As Stukey inbounds. Oh, the pass is McSorley stolen by Robinson. Robinson driving. Beautiful spin around. Yes. Daniel Robinson.
The spin move and then the step and the.
That's 10 points now for Robbie.
That's beautiful. That's collegiate.
Back to Stukey. You know, I don't know why Wagner's not touching the ball more. And the Black Shirt Nation sounds like the home team with the cheering section really getting loud here. Williams driving, a little kiss off top of him. Great rebound by Wagner, but can't get the tip. Tadioka gets the rebound over to Robinson. As Tyron Cook takes a moment to tie his shoes, it's a 4-against-5 situation now for the Black Shirts. And Daniel kick it out and wait for his best friend to come back. Kicks it out to Check on the point.
All right.
Check dribbles to the right. Duncan back to Tyron, back to Check, back to Robinson on the left wing.
All right, Tex calling.
Really swinging the ball.
Tries to
get it. Oh, inbound pass stolen by Wags. Wags going for the layup. Oh, he got clobbered on that, but no call by the refs. Pass to Tadioka. Tadioka, yes, for the deuce.
That was a beautiful pass by
his
Tyron.
First points, yeah.
Cross.
You would have thought Cook was the quarterback and Tadioka the receiver.
Exactly.
It's now a 14-point black shirt lead. It's a 30-second timeout, so we'll keep it here. I hope you'll forgive me for the delay. I was too busy counting Tyron's bat. 29 points for the senior All-State guard, Tyron Cook. 14-point lead. Still a lot of basketball left to be played. 10-18. You would have felt like 5 minutes of playing time came by since the last break at like 12 minutes. So Connor, why is Wags not getting enough touches? That's what I want to know.
I mean, I don't even think it's that bad of a thing that Wags not getting more touches. They're just not executing on the other parts of the ball. And it, their center's still having problems. They're switching them out every couple of minutes or so.
Yeah,
so.
Their number one big man's got four fouls. He's not been a factor tonight, really, with only 1 point.
And I'm thinking that may stress them further into this game.
Especially since they're living by that 3-point shot. Mm-hmm. If I'm the Blackshirts, I'd go to like a 1-3-1 or 3-2 if they get back in the zone and really force them to go to the paint.
Well, South was able to build that comfortable lead and take advantage. It's 47-33 South.
Yep, as Wags on the right backcourt kicks it back out, but a charge is called. I missed that. What happened? There's a push off, I think. Let's see who they're calling it on. Looks like number 5. That's Sobiak. They're 3 on Sobiak. I thought it was 4. As Ethan Check brings it up against the 2-3 laser zone, Daniel Robinson has it now on the left backcourt, far backcourt.
Tyron's calling for it.
But now he gets it here at the high post, kicks it back out to Check. He's calling for it again. Tyron from the long range. Yes!
That's just beautiful to see. I mean, Tyron's asking for the ball.
31 points for the senior as Sobiak dribbles, runs out of room.
And it's stolen
and
by Tyron.
Tyron steals the pass under the basket. Tyron dishes it
beautiful
off.
Beautiful pass Duncan. To Duncan.
Duncan, yes, and the foul.
He goes beneath the center.
Trey Duncan, how do you like our little guy?
He goes beneath the center's arm.
His first basket of the night under the center's arm. So who's the foul on? Number 3. That's Will Stuckey, his third. Substitutions. Bowden comes in. 3 players come back in. I got Bowden. Sobiek still in with 3. So Trey trying to make it a Trey. And he does. So great. Great night for the senior playing Tenacious G on a very difficult guard assignment. It's a 19-point Blackshirt game with 9:23 as Wagner again. He dishes it out to Sobiek. Bowden's going to go for 3. Bowden misses. And Cook steals the rebound from Tadioka. That's how hungry he is. And a foul in the backcourt by Dunham. Dunham gets his first, it looks like. Let's see. Second on Dunham, excuse me. 18 fouls, so your Blackshirts well into the bonus with a 19-point lead. And in and out for Robinson. Dunham gets the outlet. He's driving all the way. Duncan covering up. And foul will be on Daniel Robinson there. He slapped the backboard. Coach Hughes wants a goaltending. He really put a lot of a...
Yeah, that was... I mean, no, that's not goaltending. The ball didn't get close.
Yeah.
So
that's a third foul on Robinson. But with a 19-point lead, Blackshirt's not too concerned about that. So Robinson will stay in. 2 shots for Dunham. Dunham's got 5 points tonight. 1-for-2 from the line. Makes his second. So now 2-for-3. Make that 6 for Dunham. Hughes having a chat with the ref. Not happy about some of the calls being made. Second shot by Dunham. And that's in. So 7 points for Dunham. And the margin is now 17 in favor of the Blackshirts as Cook brings the ball up. And lasers go back to a man. Sobiek's covering Cook. Cook marching or giving orders. Cook drives. Kicks it out to Robinson. Robinson fakes. He's going to drive. He dishes to Tadioka, but knocked out of bounds by Bowden. No, they're calling it off Tadioka last. No. Oh, Robinson gets called for a charge. That's 4 on Daniel Robinson. And Brighton Staub's going to come in for Robinson now. So that could change things. That gives the Lasers a little glimpse of hope here with 8:45 remaining. Wags bringing it up onto the right backcourt. He cuts the middle past Duncan all the way in the key. Back out to Sobiek for 3. Sobiek off the back of the rim. Cook with the rebound.
Another
again,
rebound.
Him and Tadioka meeting at the rebounding line.
I wonder what his count is, man. I really wish we were able to
I wish
stats,
we had it.
Stats on it.
Yep. So next time.
Iron from 3.
Yes, from 3. Great cut. Unstoppable. It's back to 20 points. 8:16 remaining. As Wags brings it up in the right backcourt. And the Lasers just do not have an answer. Dunham for three. And that's way short. Great rebound by Wags. Wags drives past Duncan. Pass Cook. And the left-handed kiss by our favorite Laser.
If Wagner is able to get a run here and kind of
19 points for Drew Wagner. Yeah. You know, it's the first time we've called his name in a while, too. And that's got to be a factor. It's an 18-point lead. Cook dribbles past Sobiech. Dishes to Staub. Staub for three. The lefty off the side of the backboard. And it goes out of bounds and to the Lasers.
Looks like he didn't get a good handle when he caught it.
Sure didn't. Yeah, kind of landed funny.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a quick release.
That happens. That happens to even the best shooters.
Yep. And so a lot of good lefty shooters here with him and Tyron Cook. Oh.
Wags gets
past Duncan again. Layup by Wags. Yes, I have a foul on Tadioka. So I believe that's 21 for Wags. Check complaining that Wags hooked him to get past him. Second on Tadioka. You know, Connor, I think we got it with the lead and the time remaining. I think we got to go to a zone and keep Wags out there. Don't let him drive.
Yeah.
We put all this tenacious coverage on him right from the inbound pass, and he always gets by. And Wags is true on the extra point.
And it's looking like Kettle Moraine's isn't quite coming through from the shots. So
give the ball to Wags. It's a 15-point lead now, 7:19 and counting as Cook dribbles it up. Heavy pressure from Wags. Cook now going between the legs, putting on a little show here. Dishes it to Check. Check now at the point, covered by Dunham. Check dribbles past Dunham, driving through that Euro step, but he gets fouled. And that's going to go against us, number 11.
That was a great move trying to split the defense there. With
Alex Koenig gets his first, I believe. Yep. The 5'11 senior. Ninth team foul, though, so it's automatically two frees. Ethan Check at the line. Check with 2 points. The first one. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah, sometimes those in and outs give you a good bounce back.
In and out and back in. So Check makes his first free throw of the night. A 16-point lead, 7:03 remaining, 56-40 in favor of your black shirts. Check second shot. Nope, a line violation. Who's it against?
It's against Tack. I think it's against Tack.
Jack Tadioka. Tadioka gets his third foul. So both big men with three fouls. Looks like Tommy Krinkle reports, and he's going to give Tadioka a blow. Some great minutes there by Tadioka. As that's 1-1 there now in the bonus. That's Yoa Bowden at the line. He's 0-for-2 from the line tonight. And the first one falls out, but it bounces back to Wags.
Number four.
Dunham knocked that out.
Dunham. Will Dunham. He looked it out.
Yep. Dunham, a solid player. Wags again. Wags for three. Nope. Great rebound. Oh, my God. He falls hard.
That didn't look very
Will
good.
Will Dunham had a piece of the arm there. Cook not happy about that. Coach Richter wants a flagrant.
They hit the ground pretty hard there.
In Dunham's defense, Tadioka can get way up there. And so I think he may have misjudged how high he was. But as it is, the lefty All-State guard will be on the line shooting two. A 16-point black shirt lead, 56-40, 6:48 remaining. First shot by Cook. Oh, off the back of the rim. So Cook's second miss tonight. But he's made 10 other free throws. He was perfect from the lineup until now.
It's a beautiful showing from the line today.
Yes, for Cook. So it's a 17-point lead. As Koenig brings it up for the Lasers, goes to the right backcourt, covered by Cook. Blackshirt stay in the man. Bowden at the top of the key. Gives it to Will Dunham here on the wing. Dunham covered by
gives it back right to stop. Wags.
Gives it back to Wags, covered by Duncan. Wags dribbling to the top. Wags is going to try driving. Double coverage here. Kicks out to Bowden for three. Bowden off the front of the rim. Dunham gets the offensive rebound, though.
What?
Wags is going to drive again. Kicks it out to Bester for three. That's off the front of the rim.
Rebound Wags by Wags. Gets it back.
Look at Wags can't getting get the back. Rebound.
Got it.
Man.
Wags drives right back in.
He is a highlight reel, this kid.
This human highlight reel the entire game.
Cook, no good.
Wags with the
here
back.
Comes Wags
down.
Driving. Wags driving. Drives again. He kicks it out. Bowden looks three. No, he's going to shoot it. And the George McGinnis doozy doesn't go. Oh, Cook's outlet foul. He gets knocked over. He wants a foul call. Whistles blown. Lasers call timeout, which is a surprise because Cook was on the floor. If there was a valuable scoring opportunity, that was it. But
yeah,
Cook is nursing a left leg here. Very upset that the refs didn't call anything. I think it's cramps, though. Yep. Just like C.J. Johnson in football. Ethan Check goes running to the bench under the instruction of Bo Richter. They get some water out. 5:45 is your time remaining. The black shirts ahead of the Lasers, 57-42. Cook is laughing now, so it's good. It's Coach Richter does the honors. The former collegiate All-American, Richter knows a thing or two about cramps, I'm sure. And kudos to the Laser trainers out there, too, from Children's Wisconsin. Hey, speaking of Children's Wisconsin, I want to give a big shout-out to Johnny Watermelon, who will be helping out the parade on Sunday. And Johnny's recruited some wonderful sponsors for our parade, including Albanese's Roadhouse, Mia's Italian Kitchen and Pizzeria, Buddy's Burger and Custard, Waukesha Auto Repair Mufflers and Pipes, Planned Parenthood, and Fully Promoted. So be sure to join us on Sunday, live coverage on Walk Radio. Download the Civic Media app so you can catch the broadcast while you're at the parade. And Cook gets a nice little ovation from Blackshirt Nation as he hobbles off the court. Looks like he's back to his running shape. So I think this might be the first time Tyron Cooks sits tonight. So with Cook out, with Robinson out, unless he comes back in, Connor, a very advantageous opportunity for the Lasers to get back within striking distance.
It is, and they're really going to have to push down in the paint. I don't really understand why they're playing their center out, why he's not immediately coming down the court and setting up in the paint, trying to gather a pick and roll. And, I just don't. He's taking a lot of shots from the wing, and it's
yeah.
Just,
I mean, he can't even make free throws, and he's going for threes.
Exactly.
But
and he doesn't.
And he's not even in the game right now, so it's really not a factor.
And it doesn't look like he's a bad player. I think that he's just not having a great night because he has
Could
his fundamentals.
Well yeah.
Most of his shots are going.
There's
close.
A three. Yes. Alex Koenig, his first point's a tray. Number 11. The 5'11 senior. It's now a 12-point game. As Daniel Robinson comes back in for Cook, Robinson drives. He's got a lane. He's going to the basket. He gets stripped. He kicks it back out. Duncan can't make the easy layup. As Stuckey gets the rebound, he dribbles down. Wags on the wing. Wags drives past.
The cross.
Check. He gets fouled. Ball doesn't go in, though.
Almost an and one.
He falls hard, though. Almost an and one. Can't give up that baseline against anyone, let alone Drew Wagner.
Especially him.
points for Drew Wagner, shooting two. Don't believe he's missed from the line tonight. 4 for 4. And a sub comes in. Daniel Cook's going to relieve Brighton Staub. So I think the black shirts are done fooling around here. A lot of time left to play. So don't be don't overlook the margin here. And now it's a 10-point game. Thanks to Wagner making it more comfortable for the Lasers as Cook gets the inbound pass. Inbound full court press as Cook dribbles around. Karinko, Blackshirt's not in a hurry to score.
Top of the key with Robinson.
Robinson driving. And it's a blocking call on Wagner in the right call. He took a dive trying to get the charge, but he really gave no quarter there to Robinson. I think it's the right call.
It's a good call. Robinson crossed him too. So if that wasn't called, then he would have been open.
Yeah. That's three on Wagner. As Robbie goes to the line, Daniel Robinson, his first free throws of the night, 12 points for the All-State senior. First one's in. So it's an 11-point game. 5:06 is your time remaining. Blackshirt's in the double bonus. Second shot from Robinson as he gets the ball back from the referee. And that one is true. So make that 14 points for Robinson as Wags brings it up. Covered by Duncan. Blackshirt's still in a man here. As the clock goes under 5 minutes. A great drive by Bester. Left-handed layup. Nobody does it Bester. That's 6 points for Bester. Full court press for the Blackshirts now. Cook being covered by Sobiech. He gets by him. He keeps driving. Dishes it to Duncan, to Robinson. Robinson back to Duncan. Duncan drives. Oh, the dish. Karinko recovers the errant pass to Cook. Check goes past him. Check drives. He gets stripped beautifully by Wags. And it's a 3-on-1. Wags going in against Robinson. Robinson will not contest. And it's an 8-point Blackshirt lead as Coach Richter calls timeout. And the Lasers are loving it. Let's take a quick break. This is the Blackshirt Radio Network.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
The Downtown Waukesha.
Okay, we're back. Kettle Moraine High School. 4:21 remaining. The Waukesha South Blackshirts leading the Lasers of Kettle Moraine 59-51. Lasers have cut what was once a 19-point deficit down to 8. They're showing a full court press. Coach Richter called that last time out after the Lasers scored on a steal and a 3-on-1 breakaway. So Connor Boston, I think the keys are we don't have to be in such a hurry to score.
We really don't. We need to start draining the clock more, keeping these possessions real long because we have a decent lead.
Let the game come to them. Let these guys force fouls. Get these guys in foul trouble. Get the right guy. Oh, an attempted steal goes off the referee. It stays about. Bester's going to drive. He misses. And Robinson, they finally call a foul. Yeah,
finally. He almost.
The same guy who hacked it. Yeah.
There. That was nuts.
So that is going to be 4 on Sobiech.
Yeah, and the steal that happened right before that, he did foul him.
And luckily for him, not only did he get the no call, but the ball that should have went out of bounds bounces off the ref's leg and stays in play. So.
And the ref just like, oh, well, yeah, I didn't do anything.
Luckily for us, the Lasers miss an easy layup.
Yeah.
As Daniel Robinson comes to the line with 14 points. Oh, first shot goes off for Robbie. Daniel Robinson, excuse me. So let's just make this one. Make it a 9-point game. Second one's in for Daniel Robinson. 15 points for the senior All-State. 60-51, 4:08 and counting as Wags brings it up. He drives way past Duncan for the layup, and it's off. Rebound by Karinko.
Pulls up Tyron.
Tyron Cook, yes.
Drains
they
it.
Give him 2. I thought it might have been 3, but they're giving him 2.
That's his favorite spot, right?
It's an 11-point lead with 3:49 rating. Wags drives again. He kicks it out.
Number 11 drives in.
Look at that. A beautiful drive.
Beautiful. They weren't expecting that.
Alive. 5 points. A foul is called on Cook on the inbound or against. That was like number 12, Bester, it looks like.
Yeah. 62-53.
3 on Bester.
South.
So it's a 9-point. Wait. Oh, yeah, because he made the basket. Yeah, 9-point game. 3:39 remaining. Game still in reach for the Lasers, so the Blackshirts need to make these free throws. I really wish they'd go to a zone here, Connor.
Yeah.
They just haven't delivered from three-point land. Cook makes the first. Can't wait to do the count on that. He's pushing 40, Connor.
He's having himself
a fine time.
A fine time, a great night.
Yeah. Cook again.
His field goal percentage must be like 90, 95 yep. or somewhere close
as
to that.
As Wags brings it up. Wags drives again, but he's stripped.
Yep.
And I thought it went off of Wags after it stripped. The black shirt defense is in disbelief.
I thought it did too. It was right for him to call something, but it should have been a foul.
A foul or off of him.
But
that's probably why they settled for the off black shirts. Stukey looks like he'll inbound it under the basket. 3:33 remaining, an 11-point black shirt lead. Inbound is Wags underneath. Wags, heavy pressure. How did he get that off?
He splits two defenders and jumps higher than both of them. They have a good 5 inches on him.
Gets a full court press. He's fouled by Sobiech. And that'll be the end of the night for Sobiech.
He's a little bit too aggressive there.
Way too aggressive, yeah. So while we're waiting, Coach Hughes, Lasers get 1 minute to replace a player after a fifth foul. But while we're waiting, during the break, we mentioned, we heard an ad for Earl Ingram. I always call him Earl Weaver, the Baltimore Orioles legend. But Earl Ingram is the Earl of Milwaukee, a legend in his own right. Catch his show 6 to 8, Monday through Friday. Connor is his engineer, so you get more Connor. And we can't get enough Connor. But Earl Ingram will be joining us at the Waukesha Christmas Parade on Sunday, along with James Santel, host of Morning Cannolis, which follows my show on Saturdays. Catch him from 9 to 11, going over the latest legal issues. And Mike Crude from Devil Radio will be coming all the way from Madison to give us some support. And Corey from Baraboo, another great legend, will be there on hand too, our parade expert. As Cook goes to the line here, first one in. Tyron Cook. So it's back to a 10-point lead, 3:22 remaining. So Sobiech fouled out. Second shot is good by Cook. So an 11-point lead, 3:22 remaining. Here comes Wags. Kind of the good news is we get to see Wags play again when Kettle Moraine comes to Waukesha South. But let's hope the rest of the team doesn't... long pass to Duncan.
Beautiful pass.
Beautiful pass. Yes. Should have got fouled. And he died. No, they called a charge against Duncan.
Oh, they called a charge. How?
Oh.
I mean, sometimes I think refs do it just to be nice.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
And that's two on Duncan.
And if there was a time to be nice, that was probably a time.
Because it's a charge, it's not a bonus. So it's going to be inbounded to Stukey. So 11-point lead. Wags brings it up.
Drives.
And there's McSorley, the Irishman. Beautiful pass from Stukey.
Drives again with the steal. Comes back. Comes
another
up and
steal.
All takes it in. That's all Wags.
My gosh.
Oh, man.
Cook all the way. It was that Duncan. Duncan gets that too that he was robbed of earlier. 5 points for Duncan. 68-57 as Coach Ricker calls timeout. 2:34 remaining. We're going to take a quick break, Calvin. This is the Black Shirt Sports Radio Network.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
The Downtown Waukesha Christmas Parade is Sunday, December 4th, and WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM is proud to cover all the festivities. Parade coverage starts at 3 p.m. The coverage is brought to you by Mia's Kitchen and Pizzeria, delicious, fresh, homestyle Italian, and Planned Parenthood. Care no matter what. Affordable health care without judgment. Book your appointment today at ppwi.org. And Albanese's Roadhouse, authentic Italian family restaurant.
Okay, we're back at Kettle Moraine High School. The Lasers will inbound the ball. after a layup from Trey Duncan on a beautiful pass from Tyron Cook. 2:34 is your time remaining. As Wags lets the ball roll, saves some time, dribbles up, Duncan covering, Blackshirt still in a man. Stukey dribbling, nowhere to go. Kicks it out to Wags. Wags going to try to drive on Robinson. Robinson there kicks it out. Back to Wags in three-point land in the corner. He's going to drive again. Dishes it out to Koenig. Koenig to Bester. Back to Stukey. Back to McSorley. The Irishman kicks it back out to Koenig. Koenig at the top of the key to Wags on the wing. Wags tries to drive. Beautiful dish. Nowhere to go. McSorley tries driving. No, he kicks it back out. Bester for three. Off the rim. Big rebound by Daniel Robinson. 1:52. Your time remaining. So, barring a complete black shirt meltdown, Robinson gets past Stukey, kicks it back out to Duncan, back out to Check. So, black shirt's going to the Carolina offense as Stukey tries to steal from Check. Check back to Robinson. Great maneuvering there by Check. Check heavy coverage there. A double coverage now.
Double on Robinson.
Oh, and it's tipped.
He's to a steal. Koenig with the take. Koenig, oh. Doesn't go.
Daniel gets away with a foul. Wags yes, that one. Off of Tyron Cook. But he paid a price for that. He's a little shaken up.
Yeah.
But there's more Wags to enjoy. Only two on Tyron Cook. That's the good news. 1:16, your time remaining. That layup by Wags makes it a 9-point game here. And now it's 8. Will Dunham comes in. They take Wags out. I'm surprised by that. I do not understand that maneuver. Maybe, oh, he was a little banged up. Maybe he's getting a quick blow.
I'd imagine they just don't want to risk injury on him, especially in a game.
Early in the season. Yeah. But it's not over yet. Tyron Cook gets fouled by Bester. A good early foul.
It's about 1 minute with and the difference of 8. So if they can get a drive in or a run in, then maybe. But
1:15 remaining. So let's make these free throws, Tyron.
If he can make these free throws, I think that'll put them just far out of distance.
Yep. But never say never in high school ball.
Unless someone pulls a Tracy McGrady here.
What was that again? I know I should know this.
There was a Houston, I forget. I actually forget. I think it was, I just think it was a regular season game. He scored about 9 points in the span of a minute.
First one's good by Cook. A very important take. Brings it back to a 9-point lead. But again, a Trey makes it a 2-score lead. So we'd like Tyron to put this one through. And there it is.
There it is. What's he looking like on free throws?
Cook makes
right now?
It. Oh, my God. He's got like probably 14, 15 points on free throws. We'll do a count in a second. Wags jumps again, and Karinko called for the foul. A little bit of body, but great defense by Tommy. Could have gone either way. That's 4 on Karinko. The ref has a few words with Daniel, but it looks encouraging. They're going to leave Karinko in with 107 remaining. The senior. First shot by Wags. Oh, a rare miss by Drew Wagner. I can't believe my eyes.
6.
Second one's good. So it's back to 9. 107 remaining. Wags comes out again. That's the strategy. Don't want to get him in foul trouble. Roman Thompson in for Wags. Double coverage on Cook. Cook with the inbound. Gets past Thompson. Gets past another guy. Dishes it. Oh, the pass is stolen. McSorley over to Dunham. And it's a definite charge.
Definite
Ethan Check. Getting that foul on Will Dunham.
It was a great, great
That's 3 on
right
Dunham.
There.
Great position by Check. A gutsy play because, you know, in a game like this, that could go the other way. 57.3 seconds left. It's an inbound pass because it is a charge, as we know from the last play. The charge call against Duncan. So again, heavy coverage on Cook and Robinson on the inbound. Be interesting to see who they get it to. Cook gets it. Oh, Wags reaches, but no foul. Oh, finally a foul. Alex Koenig gets his second. Wagner's only got three. I shouldn't say only, but boy, he had a lock on Tyron's arm there.
Yeah, I think they probably just didn't call it. It's about 9 points, 54 seconds.
But again, that's, you know, they get a tray. It's a two-score game. Fortunately, you know, I said, if we were shooting free throws like last night, but it's been a different story here. Cooks, wow, another miss. In and out.
With a 9-point game, he has around, what, 14? And so
18 free throws made.
18 free throws made. That made the, yeah, because if he, without those free throws, they'd be down by nearly 10 at this point.
31-34.
42 points I have. He made this up. 43 points. He made that last free throw, right? So 10-point game. And Stuckey's three-point attempt misses. Cook with another rebound. Cook, they're trying to get a foul on him. No luck. He kicks it out. I don't know who's got that ball in the wing. Oh, it's Daniel. Guarded heavily by Stuckey. Trey back to Dan. They're going to just run the clock out. Blazers trying to make something happen here. They finally get a foul. Number 11, Koenig, his third.
Koenig's been playing pretty well in the time he's been in, so I'm confused why they decided to put him in so late in the game.
Right. Got 5 points, including a three. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
He could have been playing with Wags.
Knows how to fill the lane.
Yep.
Oh, Robinson's his first miss from the free throw line. Actually, second.
It's looking like Wagner got more tired toward the end.
You can't blame him. He's been really carrying the load here for the Lasers. Yeah, he's coming out now. So I think that's a sign that Coach Hughes has thrown in the towel for the Lasers. A great effort. Second miss by Daniel. 10-point game, 21 seconds and counting. Dunham for three. He can't make it. Stuckey with a rebound. Stuckey for three. Off the back of the rim. Rebound by Cook. And Cook's going to dribble the clock out. There's a foul. Oh, 8.1 seconds. A technical against Tyron Cook. Timeout black shirts. He didn't stop on the whistle, Connor. So that would also be Cook's third foul if that is a true technical. So a full timeout by the black shirts. When we return, the Lasers should get is a one or two shots. They're going to get two shots on the ball. Fortunately, with 8.1 seconds left, really. In fact, right, if Lasers make the shot with less than 5 seconds left, we can just let the clock run out, not even inbound it. So,
yep.
I think it's safe to say as Laser fans start settling out, that this one is in the books for the Blackshirts. Their first win of the season. A very impressive outing for Tyron Cook with well over 40 points. Team points for Daniel Robinson, including two threes. Cook made two threes. Cook had well over 20 rebounds. Stuckey will shoot the technicals for the Lasers. And first one's good. So Stuckey gets his 8th point of the game with 8.1 seconds left. Now a 9-point game. Second one is good too. So the Lasers should get the ball inbound, I believe, after a technical. Yep. Dunham will inbound from half court. They're probably going for a three here. I just hope that the pressure's light. Don't foul the shot. Clock counting. 5 seconds left. Stuckey for three. And it's off. Check gets the rebound, and that's the game. The Blackshirts are victorious. Evening the record to 1-1. And 1-0 in the conference with a very impressive road win against Kettle Moraine. Your final score, 71-63. Connor, what are your thoughts here as we
beautiful game.
It sure was.
I really don't have anything to say, honestly. I think Kettle Moraine, they really should have played the paint a lot more, starting at the beginning. They shouldn't have relied so much on their star player in the beginning as well.
Yeah.
Probably set up some plays, or they started off really good with the I think it was the full court press. I'm not sure.
Right, but, right. We got some laser fans behind us. Squawk Radio. Yeah. Now you're on Facebook, man. You're famous. Love it. Love the student section. Probably just flipped me off there. Or gave me a rabbit ears. Black shirts head to the locker room. The Lasers come to center court. That looks like their post-game ritual.
If they can play like this for the rest of the season, I mean, I think we're looking for a pretty good year, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, Tyron Cook, one-man show. I mean, I hate to say one-man show, but offensively. Yeah.
He's just so much more athletic. Yeah. Like, I mean, I feel like that's how you should play when you have such an athletic player. Because you need to build a system around him because of how much energy he has.
When the defense adjusts to put more pressure on him, there's going to be more opportunities to spread those points around. And
exactly.
If our black shirts can answer the bell.
And they
make those shots.
And they did. They did pretty well, actually.
In addition, we mentioned that Tad Kadioka at 2, Trey Duncan at 5, Ethan Check at 3, Tommy Karinko had 2. You like to see more better point distribution as we go into the season. Now let's look at Drew Wagner, the other MVP. 6, 8, 11, 13, 15, 17, 19, 21, 23. 32 points for Drew Wagner, only one missed free throw. Made 10 free throws. And same thing, I wish you had counted his rebounds. He was up there with Tyron.
Yep.
Will Stuckey, 9 points. Will Dunham with 7 points. Alex Koenig with 5. Ben Bester with 6. And Jack McSorley with 2. So a little bit better point distribution, but certainly not enough points to beat our black shirts. And Tyron was just in his zone, hitting from his favorite spot, as you mentioned.
Yeah. Coming up with that 3 slightly to the right every single time to win.
So a great win for our black shirts. Don't forget to join us tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Calvin will be there with me along with Mayor Sean Riley for this week in Waukesha. Calvin, what do you got for us? You're about to tell us something here.
I don't have much of anything. It was an exciting game to listen to. I'm glad the black shirts got the win.
Sounds great. All right. Well, Calvin, I think, Connor, unless you don't have anything else, that's it for us tonight. Thank you for joining us tonight on the Black Shirt Sports Radio Network, 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw. And remember, you can catch us on the Facebook live stream as well as the Civic Media app on your phone. So thanks again for joining. Congratulations, Black Shirts. We'll see everybody this weekend at my show on Saturday and at the parade on Sunday. Thanks, everybody, and good night. Remember, safety is everyone's responsibility, and see ya!
Hey, this is Don Brown inviting you to get local with me every Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, on my show, This Week in Waukesha, live from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. Local news.
Yep, have a good night, guys.
We'll see you at 7:40, 7:35-ish, right?
Yep.
All right, God bless. Right, see ya.
Out, man.
See ya.
The strike is a legitimate thing, and sometimes it comes down to that, and let the parties go at it, and we're going to stand by and see how it works out. But no, they stepped in, protect the Capitol, and here we are. So it's a huge missed opportunity.
How bad is this going to be for the president and for Democrats as a whole, to be honest? Because, you know, they keep saying that they're the party of the working class. You got Marco Rubio who came out and said, no, I side with the workers, trying to make this pivot. And look, we both agree, or at least I believe the Republicans hate working people. Just look at their policies. Rubio, not a friend of the average, everyday working person, but Democrats gave him this opening. Democrats have given Republicans an opening to now be the party of working people.
It's like I said when Trump was elected. How dare the Democrats allow somebody like Trump to get to, you know, a position where he's communicating with workers as if he's going to help them. We knew he wasn't going to help working people. But he broke through on that because the Democrats have stood around with their hands in their pockets for too long. Now, I want to acknowledge, you know, the Progressive Caucus, Pramila Jayapal, and people like Peter DeFazio in the House really stood up on this, and they really carried the ball for us in the Congress. But there's a lot more work to be done. Yeah, we need the Progressive Caucus to basically take over the Democratic Party.
Yeah, but this is nuanced. The message today, again, I've been spending the day talking to union members here in Georgia, trying to get them to get out and vote and to vote for Raphael Warnock. Who I say, look, he's going to be a good vote for labor, yet they see this. They see this and they keep hearing me say, you know, Joe Biden's the most labor-friendly president in the history of this country, the most pro-union president. And then this happens. The messaging out of this, the optics are horrible.
It's absolutely horrible. And we've got to give working people a reason to support the Democrats. We won, the election 2 years ago because workers turned out. We averted disaster in the midterms because workers turned out, but they're not going to keep turning out if they're not seeing the results. A Republican president could have, you know, interrupted the right to strike here, and it wouldn't have been a surprise. It's a surprise that Biden did it, and it's a horrible lesson to teach working people.
Now, you know, I've had a bunch of people tell me, well, you know, Donald Trump would have done right here. He would have done right. But I'm going, no, they'd still be negotiating. There'd be no raises because, look, this contract has some good stuff in it. But, you know, Trump would have done none of this.
No, none of it. And like I said, how dare the Democrats let somebody like Trump take that messaging away from them, take the policy, the actual on the ground policy and, you know, beat them with it. It's just ridiculous.
Now here's the thing, and this is where I got the other question, and I know you don't have an answer to it, but it's just kind of thrown it out. Is there a pivot here? Is there a way to undo the damage that they've done? Because I said, look, the reality is Democrats had a chance to call for a national movement. Biden had an opportunity to come out and say, look, this is a moment where every working person should have paid sick time. Every working person should have that dignity, that need met. And we're going to move forward on ensuring that everyone, this could have been a unifying moment. This could have been that kind of, look at these workers and how they're being abused and how they can't even make a dental appointment, let alone have see their kids play soccer games. This could have been that kind of moment, I think.
Absolutely could have been. And these companies can afford it. You know, they're paying out billions in stock buybacks that could have easily financed this sick leave. So, you know, it's all crocodile tears on their part. And the Democrats need some big, you know, flashy, you know, gestures like this to convince people, oh, yeah, it isn't just rhetoric this time. It's really going to make a difference. I think what makes a difference, Rick, is we need to organize millions more workers, you know. They'll respond to us when they have to respond to us. Right now, we're less than 10% of the workforce, and it's this love-hate relationship. If we were back to 30% of the workforce, they'd be throwing themselves at our feet. Both parties would be throwing themselves at our feet.
No, you're not wrong here. This is where the frustration in this is. Now, I did have someone email me and said, Rick, you're being too hard on the president. You're being too hard on the administration, that they must be working on something to ensure that these, is there any, I mean, you're the expert here, anything that you can think of that's being done through back channels that is going to get these guys what they need?
I'm not hearing it. You know, they we had, you know, high-level labor leaders trying to tell us all week how we really should focus on, you know, the good things that were in this deal. So I'm not convinced we're making the demand, much less getting any traction with it. So we got a lot of work to do. And workers understand this. If you talk to frontline workers, they get the dynamics here, and they understand. That's why all these people are organizing. These kids get it. And they're out there trying to make a difference, and we need to get behind that. And for example, we need to shut down Howard Schultz and all of the illegal union busting at Starbucks, so that, again, the wrong signal isn't sent. You don't want this whole new generation of potential union members to learn, oh, well, Starbucks, and then they closed a bunch of stores and they fired a bunch of people, so there's nothing to it. You want that the NLRB needs to come down hard on them to show those workers, we're going to back your rights here. You have rights in the law, and you're going to have rights on the ground when employers do that.
No, I mean, the anger. Now, last question I've got for you. Now, I came out yesterday and I said, you know, I've gotten some responses from people that there's a potentially could be a wildcat strike down the road, that there's a, you know, a number of people have reached out, said that's what they're going to do. Does it have to come to this? I mean, I look at the NLRA as a peace treaty between labor and corporate America, because there were so many strikes at a period. And I know I guess I should start with, what are the penalties if there is a wildcat strike of workers who do a sick out or whatever? What does that look like?
Right. Well, I look back at PATCO again. A lot of those guys went to jail, right? You know, if you do an illegal strike, it can be very harsh. And, I, as a lawyer, I can't say, yeah, go out and violate the law. So, they're pretty much at an end here, and we need to shift the focus a little bit. We can't ask workers to make that kind of sacrifice. We, the rest of us, need to stand up for them. It was like with the government shutdown. Everybody kept saying, well, those AFGE members should strike. Well, striking was illegal and everybody would go to jail. So you can't expect them to do that. We need to rally up out here, the rest of us, and support them. And it's the same with these rail workers. I'm not suggesting that it's a good idea to have a wildcat strike, but I think we have to keep the pressure on. Yeah. And if some of these politicians want to say, oh, well, we're going to keep trying to get paid sick leave, well, then let's hold them accountable.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the frustration. I do. I understand the, you know, but if you're the last thing workers have is their ability to fold their arms and march their feet. And if that's taken away, what do you have then left? And that's right. That, to me, is the frustration of this. Look, nobody wants to go on strike. I've been on strike in the past. There's no fun in this. Nobody wants to do this. But sometimes you're backed into a corner. You're pushed into this, and it's the last resort. So I completely understand their frustration and their anger.
I do too. And the one encouraging sign I've seen, we talk about Starbucks workers. Those young workers have learned you don't even have to have the union yet until your right to strike kicks in, and you're seeing strikes, you know, sporadically around that whole system as they learn that. That's a really powerful tool for them. So we'll see where that goes. Yeah. But these workers were, you know, let down by the administration. They're let down by the Congress today, and we have to stand with them going forward.
I'm with
you. Keep up the fight.
I'm with you. David, I appreciate you taking time for us, sharing a little bit of knowledge and keep getting us up to date. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Rick.
Good stuff. David Bohrer, General Counsel at AFGE. Again, you know, this is one of those angering moments for me, and I think we'll get through it. But I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Tell me what you think. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, The year was 2001. That was the day that energy trading giant Enron filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. It was the biggest bankruptcy in U.S. history up to that time. At its peak, the Houston-based Enron was the seventh largest company in the country. A combination of mismanagement and all-out greed sank Enron. The company used numerous accounting tricks and loopholes to hide billions of dollars of debt from its shareholders. In August of 2000, shares of the company were worth $90.75. But by November 30th, 2001, they had plummeted to just 26 cents. After filing bankruptcy, thousands of Enron employees were left to go down with the ship. Many employees and retirees had thousands of dollars worth of Enron stock. Employees were told the company would recover. They were encouraged not to sell off their stock and even to buy more, while at the same time, top executives were dumping their stock holdings. When the company went under, the employees' retirement accounts were wiped out. Some who had already retired had to re-enter the workforce. The following January, a New York Times report shared the stories of some of the 4,000 employees laid off in the immediate aftermath of the bankruptcy. One was told he lost his job by voicemail. Another was told he had 30 minutes to clear out his desk. Multiple lawsuits won a portion of the money back for Enron stockholders, but the employees lost more than $2 billion in retirement funds. In the end, more than 20 top executives were found guilty for the crimes they committed while running the company. Enron became synonymous with the corporate greed that has been the hallmark of 21st century America. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at laborhistoryin2.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I'm kind of confused about some of the reporting coming out around the economy, to be honest. It seems like people want, the people who control our media want a recession. Like there are people who are cheering for recession. In fact, you know, I checked out this Reuters article. And again, you know, Reuters, usually you know, reasonable. But, you know, the headline was basically, you know, jobs are, you know, the smallest number of jobs since last November, New Year, 2 years, you know. And I'm going, here was the what they said. U.S. job growth was likely the smallest in nearly 2 years in November as mounting worries of recession cooled demand for labor. And you go, another report, U.S. economy adds 263,000 jobs in November, beating expectations. Because economists had expected 200,000. Now you go, you know, last month, October was, well, 284,000, which beat expectations. September, another 269,000. You go, it seems like there are some cheerleaders out there, some folks who want there to be a massive recession because they politically need it. They need us to all be on edge. They need us to all be afraid and fearful of the economy that a handful of people control. And this is where I keep coming back to. I'm frustrated in this moment with President Biden, in that this could have been a moment where we start clawing back some of that control. The fact that Twitter laid off a bunch of people, you know, that contributes because there's a ripple effect to that. And that was all at a whim. That was all because, well, I don't even know why. More, I guess Elon's trying to save a couple of bucks or just trying to show that you know, people don't matter. And this is where my frustration is. And we had better get away from this, always following the market, always. Every day I hear, you know, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 3 points, which is, you know, be afraid, run, scared. And the reality is, you know, it's a roller coaster. It goes up and down every day. Look at the long haul. You know, I go back to August 2019 when the Business Roundtable had their grand epiphany and said, you know, we care about our customers. We care about our communities. We care about our workers. And I remember going, you know, if only this were true, if only that were actual fact. And they had the pandemic to prove it. They chose not to. And in this moment, again, I come back to this railroad situation. Had the chance to prove that their workers were essential. Their workers were actual heroes in their minds. We all know that they are. But in their minds. And what did they prove to us? Well, they proved to us not so much. They proved to us they don't really care about working people, especially their own workers. So for me, this is a moment, and this is one of those moments where I'm hoping my Democratic friends don't go running for the hills and I'm going to start a third party. That's not going to happen here. But take over the Democratic Party. Get rid of the people who did.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.